Figure out how to be more family-like in your business. And what you will find as the owner is that you are much more energized about your business because you simply love the people that you work with. Welcome to the Business Made Simple podcast, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network. I'm your host, Donald Miller. Here's something you probably are intimidated by, but it's necessary to do it. That is giving feedback to your team members. We have all sorts of questions about that. Do we do it in the moment? Do we do it right when they're screwing up? We praise them when they're in the midst of doing something good. Do we do that publicly? The reality is everybody on your team really wants feedback. They want coaching. They want to know if they are doing a good job. They want to know where they need improvement. They need communication from you. One of my coaches years ago said, Don, never put anybody in the mind reading business. You have to talk. And I would actually say you have to over communicate. Then you have to constantly communicate. However, there is a right way and wrong way to do it. If you know that you need to give feedback to your team members, but you're wanting some tips, you're going to love today's episode. We've got some special guests with us today. They have given thousands of sessions of feedback to their team. I'm going to introduce you to them. You're going to get some really great practical tips that you can walk away with so that even tomorrow morning when you show up at work, you can be doing the things that earn you more respect as a leader. If that sounds interesting to you, keep listening. If you are a startup with big growth dreams, then you need a CRM that can keep up. From marketing and sales to support and content and everything in between, HubSpot's all-in-one customer platform has startups covered. And with the HubSpot for Startups program, you can save 30 to 90% on a platform that scales right along with you. Increase leads, boost revenue, and improve your customer experience. HubSpot for Startups helps you do it all. Plus, they offer 24/7 customer support and integrations with more than 1,500 of today's most popular apps. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, their constantly evolving collection of resources and articles created specifically to help startups scale. HubSpot is trusted by some of the most successful startups and more than 100,000 companies around the world. To see if you are eligible to join the HubSpot for Startups program and take your growth to the next level, visit HubSpot.com/startups. Bobby Richards, podcast producer extraordinaire. On today's episode, we have some people as our guests who you are intimately familiar with.
Very much so.
And we're going to talk about performance reviews. Before we do that, though, we should say this is Tyler Ginn, who is the president of my company, Business Made Simple, and Emily Pastina, who is the Senior Director of Operations, who does your performance review.
She is my direct report.
Let me ask
Emily,
you.
Emily, am I doing okay?
We'll talk about that in the report.
However, we have to silence Emily and Tyler. Bobby, does Emily do a good job with these performance reviews?
Yes. And I'm not saying that out of fear. I'm being authentic. Yes.
I'm curious, Bobby, before we get into it, I actually have a performance review too. Like I get reviewed. Did
really?
You know that?
I don't know if I, maybe I did. I don't know. Who does yours, Tyler?
Both of them.
Oh.
Yeah, they tag team. They get a little mad.
Throw some truth bombs.
Just an airing of grievances. Yeah.
Yeah. It's constantly a long list of here's what you can improve upon.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, though, how to do a performance review. And by the way, cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
The way to give feedback is a performance review. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about how to do that and when to do that and what needs to happen during that performance review. But before we get into that, you know, as team members, you know, I actually did sit down with them at one point and say, hey, I need to be reviewed. You guys need to say, here's what can be improved upon and here's what you can do. And that's been very healthy and good. I'm curious, though, from your perspective, Bobby.
Yeah.
Like how much does that play into morale, do you think, for all of the team members who work here? How important are performance reviews?
I think they're extremely important because not only it's not just an opportunity for us to sort of evaluate our progress and whether or not we've been hitting and meeting our goals and priorities. It's also an opportunity for us to sort of communicate where we're feeling either stretched or where we feel that we've either exceeded goals, where we've met them, or where we haven't met those goals, and then also sort of where our blockers are.
Yeah.
And so it isn't something that feels like it comes out of left field where it's going, you know, you think it's going to be going great. And then Emily drops a bomb that goes, and by the way, Bobby, you haven't met 50% of your quota. You know, there's nothing that comes out of left field like that.
So, especially if you're doing it every quarter.
Exactly.
Quarterly performance review.
Yeah.
Because it's only been 3 months since the last one. So it's not like you can derail for very long.
Totally.
Right. And also, if you're not liking part of your job, I would imagine rather than causing a bunch of frustration, you just go, look, I'm 3 weeks away from performance. I'm 3 weeks away from my opportunity to actually communicate, sure. Hey, not loving this part of it. I think it's critical. Let me introduce the audience to Emily Pastina. She is our senior director of operations. Tyler Ginn has been president of my company. He's moved up internally. We brought him in as marketing director, and now he runs the show.
Yep.
I would say, you know, I'm being honest, we've had some great, great leadership teams who always get poached and go on to bigger and better pastures. But at the same time, our team has, the morale has never been higher. Revenue has never been higher. We've done some really good things. And that's after a lot of mistakes and a lot of seasons of chaos. So congratulations on to both of you for leading us there. Will you just tell us a little bit about, because I think people are probably wondering who should be doing these performance reviews. Maybe tell us a little bit about your job and what you see as your responsibilities.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll let Emily chime in as well. You know, for us, Bobby, I love that you talked about feedback being consistent, because I would say feedback needs to be clear and it needs to be consistent. So even though I know we're going to end up talking performance reviews, it always feels like there's just a whole lot of lead up to that in terms of, you know, listeners of the show will hopefully be familiar with our mission statement formula. You know, we talk about as a company, we will accomplish X by Y because of Z. And every week as a team, we're looking at that mission statement. And from that, that rolls down, okay, if we're going to accomplish those things, what does marketing need to do to make sure that we accomplish it? What is sales? What is design and development? So our team priorities come off of that mission statement, individual priorities that are set, and we let everybody have five priorities. Those come off of those team priorities. So it's really, really clear the work that each person is doing in the business. It should be clear if we're doing our jobs, how the priorities they're focusing on are working towards the larger mission of the organization. And from there, you know, for us, we're actually meeting weekly. So we call them speed checks. So once a week, we're meeting with anybody that reports directly to me or to Emily, and that trickles down to other leaders.
How
in
long
the company.
Is that meeting?
It's 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So once a week, 30 minutes.
And everybody in the entire company is meeting with a director of some sort for 30 minutes every single week. This is different than the quarterly performance review.
That's right.
I think people would have the question then, what is the difference between a speed check and a quarterly performance review?
Yeah, that's great. I think for me, and I'll let Emily speak into this too, but we're checking in. Bobby said, you know, when I get into a performance review, nothing's coming out of left field. I'm not surprised on my performance. Am I meeting expectations? Am I not? Because it seems like in a lot of businesses, that's a little fuzzier for people. I'm showing up, I'm trying to do good work, but am I doing a good job? So these speed checks are our opportunity once a week to pull up anybody's priorities, to go through them together and say, hey, what have you got done on this? Where are you blocked? Is there any way I can support? So we're looking at those and giving feedback weekly, all the way leading up to a performance review.
Yeah, I think if someone shows up to their performance review and is surprised by the feedback they're getting, we've failed as leaders. Yeah. I think in a speed check, you should be connecting with your direct reports, making sure they know what's expected of them, making sure they're unblocked if there's something in the way of them achieving those goals.
But in that meeting, are you guys saying, hey, there's some areas that we think you need to improve, or do you reserve that for the quarterly performance review? What's the difference between the speed check and the quarterly performance? Because speed check's happening every single week. It's happening 52 times a year. Quarterly performance is happening 4 times a year. So one conversation is 30 minutes. The other conversation, I would imagine, is closer to an hour. Is that right?
Yeah. And I in speed checks, yeah, I'm giving feedback. I mean, especially if it's somebody I'm working closely with. And that can be the, you know, affirmation of, hey, this was great. Or, hey, in this meeting, you approached it this way. I think next time you might want to be mindful to approach it a different way. So it's good for me to know, hey, I've got time once a week that I can give some of that feedback, affirmation, or a little bit of correction, whatever's needed there, while still staying true to the priorities. Because one thing I'm a big believer in, it's just so easy to lose focus.
Yeah.
You cannot
talk about
preach,
that all the time.
Yeah,
right here,
your priorities, your company mission, what each person should be focused on. Because the second you stop doing it or you get away from it in meetings, people just drift downstream and they forget about it. So we always want to go back to the priorities. We are given feedback in those weekly speed checks. To me, Don, the biggest difference in that and a quarterly performance review, and why I think performance reviews are so powerful at the end of the quarter is when we set goals and we set priorities within our team. We're basically saying, hey, in the first quarter, in Q1, we want our goals to be time-bound, specific, and measurable. So of the five things that I've listed here, I'm going to accomplish each of these five things with something that's really clear and measurable, and I'm going to do it in the next 90 days. So at the end of Q1, to move the business forward, because I'm clear that my priorities should roll up into what we're trying to do as a business, I will have accomplished these five things. So now when I'm sitting down with somebody at the end of a quarter, there's just really good accountability in the sense that we're going to pull that up and say, did we do it?
Right.
There's no mystery around if I achieved, or the person I'm reviewing, if they achieved the priorities and the goals that they set out to accomplish over an entire quarter.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most powerful things, and this is somebody, you know, I have a performance review with you. There's something so powerful about at the beginning of a quarter when I say, I'm going to do these things. And I know I can fast forward in my brain and say 90 days from now, I'm going to sit down with Don and, you know, answer for these things, but in a good way. Accountability can have a PR problem sometimes, but it's a good thing. I stay accountable to it. I want
also,
that.
Also, there's people who they'll work really, really hard and get a lot done and nobody ever notices. There's no formal way of acknowledging, man, you really did great, you know, and that can be a morale killer, I would imagine.
Yeah, I like to say I think a performance review is actually a good chance to kind of show off what you did the last quarter.
I love the term show and tell. Remember when we were kids?
Used to love show and tell. There's so many things that just go under the radar, or we've got people who are more individual contributors and we might not hear about the things they're working on, but their performance review is kind of a chance to say, here's all the things I got done and what I'm really proud of, and here's the things that maybe I didn't do as well on, but I think I can improve.
Yeah.
So it just opens up the door to have those conversations.
Mark Miller wrote a book called Talent Magnet. He's a Chick-fil-A executive. And they spent, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if I'm not mistaken, doing some research into what actually attracts top talent and how they keep top talent. And it came down to three very simple things: a better boss, a bigger vision, and better opportunity. So the better boss is, you know, you can screw that up with just a person, right? I mean, you just have to have somebody who they respect and like. And a bigger vision is something that serves the world. But it's that better opportunity where you're basically saying, we are developing you, that when you leave this company, if you leave this company, you're going to be way more valuable on the open market than when you showed up, because you've been developed here. And a company that's willing to do that is going to not only attract top talent, because really great people don't want to come in and sit around. They're looking almost like college. They're looking for an opportunity to get better. And then weirdly, by making them more valuable in the market, you have a better chance of keeping them, right? Because they're just like, well, they're not going to develop me over there. And I love this. You got to keep them moving up and all that kind of stuff. But these speed checks and these performance reviews are where that happens. If you haven't caught on already, we're going to talk about basically two of the meetings that of the five. There's the all staff, the leadership meeting, the department stand up, the personal productivity speed check, and then the quarterly performance review of those five meetings. Two of them happen with every single team member 52 times a year and 4 times a year. And that is where the coaching happens. Now, if some of you own a company, you say, I'm not meeting with people 52. Your direct reports do that. You probably only have a couple direct reports, so this is not taking up too much of your time. But it's critical if you want great talent. They expect it. And they will leave, by the way, without telling you why they're leaving if they're not getting that feedback. So we're going to take a little bit of a deep dive into these things. We're going to do that through listener questions. People have actually, Bobby, they've written in about...
Actually, the whole episode today kind of centers around this one question that we got from a business owner. And it also happens to fall right before we go into Q2 of this year.
Right.
So it's all leading into that.
I'm glad you said that, Bobby, because here's what happens in quarter one. Everybody gets excited. The vision is cast. Yeah. The vision is crystal clear. People are super stoked. The numbers are looking pretty good. And then half your team goes on vacation for spring break.
Right. Exactly. Or in their minds.
Or in their minds. The weather's warming up. What usually happens is spring, you see a decline in momentum, and summer just drops off the table. Mm. And then it's like getting a fire started with wet wood going into the fall.
Right.
So one of the ways that you can actually just keep that momentum going are these speed checks and these quarterly performance reviews. So I'm actually glad you brought up the fact that this is the end of quarter one. This is normally where people sit down.
Oh, yeah.
And they will sit down till October.
Sure. Yeah. Until that fire gets started underneath them again.
That's right.
So, Don, we actually got a question from Sarah, who's a listener of the show. Sarah is the co-owner and CEO of a marketing agency out in Austin. And she's asking this. We kicked off Q1 with a bang, setting some ambitious goals, including targeting a 20% increase in monthly revenue, onboarding at least 3 new high-profile clients, and launching 2 innovative marketing campaigns to enhance brand visibility and engagement. Additionally, we're aiming to strengthen our internal processes to improve efficiency and client satisfaction. Despite a strong start, Don, it was like you were reading into a crystal ball with this one. Despite a strong start, the team's energy seems to be waning and our focus isn't as sharp as it was at the beginning of the year. How can I ensure that we maintain momentum and stay on track to achieve our objectives throughout the rest of the year? So exactly, Don, what you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got some thoughts on this. But first of all, you need to bring the whole team together. You need to cast the vision. You don't just cast the vision once. You repeat it over and over and over, preferably in the form of a mission statement, Tyler, that you brought up earlier. We will accomplish X by Y because of Z. If you're not familiar with that, grab my book, How to Grow Your Small Business, and it talks about rewriting your mission statement. But you have to remind people over and over of what we're doing and where we're going. The other thing is you need a scoreboard. You need to be able to show we are behind on leads. We are behind on this sale. We are behind on that. You know, we probably have, I don't know how many metrics we've got, probably 8 or 10 things that we're measuring that we know we're ahead or behind on. But, you know, if you're not measuring it, it's hard to grow it. And if you're not reminding people that we're behind, they will conveniently, as will you, forget that they are behind. And you sort of begin to rewrite the numbers and rewrite expectations. It's a natural thing going into spring and summer, but it's communication, 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 communication. Get everybody in the room, remind people what we're doing, and look at the scoreboard and say where we are. Emily?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, having the priorities helps a lot because like we've talked about, we have
when you say the priorities, like every team member on our team has 5. Is that right?
Yep. So at the beginning of a quarter, really at the end of the previous quarter, we have the whole team come up with their 5 priorities. And those are influenced by their department priorities, which the department head is setting. And those are influenced by the company priorities. So they
all
work together.
With that? Are they coming to you to check on these 5 priorities and make sure they're right? Are they going to, you know, their department heads, or is it a...
Yeah, they're typically going to their department heads and working with them to come up with their priorities. So all of our, you know, leaders across the team are pretty well versed in how we do our priorities. And so they can kind of coach their team on, hey, this one's not time bound or this one's not specific enough. Because we really want to make sure those priorities are objective so that in those performance reviews, it's not, you know, it's not based around how you're feeling about someone that day. It's based around, did they hit the goal or did they not?
Right. And is it even the right goal in the first place? The amazing thing about that is you're also having to know what those priorities are. I mean, it's not just the person who has to accomplish them. There's also a benefit to their direct report or the person they report to knowing what those are as well, because they can say, you know what, those were the 5 priorities, but one of them we're in the process of sunsetting that. So let's actually, you know, you can have that conversation. And the more often you have that conversation, and every week is a pretty good cadence, the less time somebody's working on the wrong thing, right? If you meet once a year, 12 months is a long time to be, you know, barking up the wrong tree. So it's good for both of you guys to have that. How would you say, adding to how do you keep, you know, to answer Sarah's question, how do you keep momentum up?
Yeah, I'm seeing some good things or hearing some good things in Sarah's question, just in the terms of, hey, we went into Q1 with some things I'm seeing time-bound, specific, and measurable. You know, we wanted to have a 20% increase in revenue. We wanted to close 3 big new clients. So there's some good things in there in terms of here's what we wanted to do, but with momentum, because you hit the nail on the head, Don, that's what's going to happen going into Q2. When we talk about those meetings, we've talked a little bit about the weekly staff meeting, and To me, that is just such an important time for our team. And if I even think about the anatomy of a staff meeting and how we execute it to really answer Sarah's question of how do I keep momentum up? You know, probably some of this has worked, some of it hasn't to the extent that we wanted to. If you're not, starting off every week, again, reminding everybody of the mission that you're on, here's what we're going to accomplish by this date, and here's why. That's going to help. I mean, people are going to lose focus. They're just going to lose. They're not going to feel like they're on a mission. And so that's going to drain some energy there. And maybe you're even doing that. Maybe you are, you know, getting that mission up in front of people, but then you're just kind of getting into miscellaneous updates and everybody's kind of on Zoom in a separate screen or, you know, daydreaming in their mind. Well, that's when we want to get the scoreboard up there to say, hey guys, we want to accomplish this. How are we doing on it? Let's put a big old scoreboard up there and say on our road to get to this final goal where we want to be at, here's how we're doing. Here's the things that are in the works to help us get to that final goal. Here's some things we tried that didn't go like we wanted them to, but here's what we're going to do because of that. It's just the constant showing even of the progress we're making, the wins we're having alongside that, the obstacles that we're coming up against. And again, just never taking for granted, to your point, the memorization of the mission that we're on, a scoreboard with how we're making progress. And then we actually, it's a part of something that we teach. We have a couple of teams within our business present every week, but their whole presentation should be, how is our team helping us make progress towards our goals and serving customers?
So they present at the all staff meeting on Monday morning.
Yep, at the all staff meeting on Monday.
So you pick two departments.
Yeah, and by the time we do it across a month, we've had every team present. So every team even just has a moment to get up in front of the whole company and say, here's how we are contributing towards those goals that we set as a company, which is also a really strong part of that meeting. And then finally, we end with shout outs. We set about 10 to 15 minutes aside and say, hey, we're going to open the floor for shout outs. We always talk about our key characteristics as a company. We're driven, we're advocate minded, we're relentlessly optimistic. I always like to remind, hey, here's as a team who we are, the characteristics we embody. And a lot of times the shout outs that people will give on our team to each other, because there's just something powerful in kind of honoring the work of your teammates and people feel seen and they do feel appreciated. It's just a really great time to end that meeting. It energizes everyone. Most of the people on the team say, hey, my work is being seen and appreciated. And it just ends that Monday morning meeting on an energy high. I mean, people leave ready to have a strong week. And that's about the most energizing thing we do in a given week that I hope Sarah, if she's not doing, she'll start doing, because that will go a long way towards solving that concern.
What have you done? You know, Sarah's going into a season where everybody's kind of getting a little bit lethargic and people are taking their eye off the ball and looking at summer vacations and things like that. What are some tactics that you guys have used to sort of change the state of people's mind and get them more focused on what we're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, we do some things just that are culture builders that I think get people bought in. So they might not be specifically about the business, but it gets people excited to show up to work every day. It changes their state of mind and just puts them in that excited place to show up every day. So we do every other week, we have a staff lunch and we bring the whole team in.
Today was that.
We had tzatzikis. we get a pretty good turnout.
A great turnout, actually.
Yeah. And I think the team really values that. It's time to just connect with each other and not talk about work and get to know each other, you know, as humans.
How important is that, Em, from your perspective? Like, not talking about work. Like,
I think it's really important.
Not talking about work at work.
Yeah, I think it's super important. I think if all you're doing is talking about work and working on things,
you're using each other.
People become robots. They become, you know, you lose the empathy. You lose the, this person is a human on the other side of the computer screen. And so if you're not getting to know people outside of, you know, what they do 9 to 5, I think it removes some of that human element that I think is part of the magic of what we do here.
Well, and you'll sacrifice more for your brothers and sisters than you will for your coworkers. And if you can actually create sort of brother sister bonds, people will sacrifice more. And I don't mean to like, hey, let's pretend we're a family so you can get more productivity out of your people. I'm just saying it's the nature of human beings. You know, we'll go to war with each other if we've sat and had some meaningful conversations. And so those things are actually critical. Tyler, what have you seen us do that's sort of changed people's states?
It's maybe a different angle on it, because it could go on for a while. I mean, culture is such a big part of what we do, from in-office stuff and just, to Emily's point, as simple as just being around and really genuinely enjoying the people that we work with and getting to know them, their families, all of that. And so that's really important. And I never take it for granted. Emily was kind of talking around this, that people are just fully bought into what we're doing, even as great of a culture as we have. And I think everybody genuinely enjoys their job. I'm just always looking for ways of how can we just continue to get people to buy in. And some of that is, it's the in-person culture building things. And we will have just fun things where it's like, hey, this goal that we set for new leads or a new product, if we hit it, we'll throw a special kind of party in the office, or, you know, just do something a little bit different outside of our norm, something that the team gets to do. So we're always looking for those things. But the slightly different angle I would take too, because you said this earlier, Don, when we are connecting with someone one-on-one once a week, to talk about their work, to actually talk about the priorities that they've set out for themselves and get into it with them, and even just create that space to say, hey, I know these are the five things that are most important for you to be successful in your job, to be fulfilled in your work. How's it going? Like, are these things working? Are you feeling blocked? Are you feeling stuck? There's something about, you know, for us as company leaders to be in the trenches with the people that report to us and really support them on their priorities, check in with them consistently. Just ask, you know, how is that going? Are these things progressing or are they not? Even that, I just think there's something about being in it together, because again, we probably take it for granted. I just think naturally, just culture building and the people part of it, we do well. And I'd give Emily so much credit for that. She helps oversee so much of our people operations, but there's just something too about, you know, going way back to Sarah's question of just like keeping people energized and focused, and I know you as the leader really want me to buy in, and this seems to be really important to you, but why is this as important to me? In addition to that, just connecting at a human element, just to feel like somebody's in the trenches with you in the work that you're doing and really supporting you and really knows what you're working on and wants to be involved with you at that level. I think that's just another really powerful byproduct of this system that we run and a meeting like the weekly speed check that has just a lot of benefits for in terms of the culture we're building.
So State, seems like we got that covered with some lunches and tailgates and parties and different sort of gamifying our accomplishments. Let's get into Tony Robbins' little thing here of strategy. And we've hinted around it as we've talked about every employee knows the five priorities that they have. And I would say that's our strategy. Our strategy is actually, our mission statement has three economic priorities. Every department has five priorities that help us meet those. And every person has five priorities that helps them meet the department priorities. So that's really it, 3-5-5. Three overall priorities as an organization. Now, you may have 20, but there are three that we're going to focus on for this particular season. Five that every department, marketing, sales, D&D for us, media, you know, production, all those sorts of departments, each of those has five that they're going to prioritize. And then each person in those has five. So everybody has a lot of work to do. Would you consider that our strategy? And how, you've seen the before and after of that, Tyler. You've been here long enough. What's the before and after of identifying three economic priorities, five department priorities, and five individual priorities?
It really is focus. The before and after is drastic. You know, I was here at a time before we had this system fully installed, and now I can't imagine going back to not having, you know, exactly what you just laid out of the three economic objectives of the company that roll down into five team priorities and five personal priorities. So the before and after is huge because of everything we've talked about. There's clarity, there's focus, there's consistent feedback around consistent priorities. And within 90 days, that's our time bound of those priorities that we want to make sure that we get those done within 90 days. It's a huge before and after difference. And one thing, and Emily knows this really well too, because we sit in on a lot of interviews when we, you know, post a new position where we're going to bring somebody on the team. One of the biggest questions, probably the most consistent question we get in an interview is, what does success look like? Or some version of that
what's
question.
What's expected of me?
What's expected? How will I know if I'm performing up to standard or doing a good job? And I always just kind of internally smile when somebody asks that question. And my answer is usually a version of, you will never have to wonder about that.
Oh, like
you will
isn't that never great? Have to, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, what a gift that is. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons we have so much talent around here.
Yeah,
you will never have to wonder what's expected of you.
Yeah. And then it's from there, I, you know, get into explaining, assuming they haven't heard any of this, you know, how that system that we run around management and productivity and the five personal priorities that roll up into company priorities and how we show how we're progressing on those things and check in with you and give you feedback. So it's a talent magnet, and it's something that feels really good to be able to tell prospective talent in an interview that you will not have to wonder what success looks like.
Talking Too Loud, hosted by Chris Savage, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On each episode of Talking Too Loud, Wistia CEO and self-proclaimed loud talker Chris Savage takes you inside the minds of entrepreneurs as they share the hilarious, informative, and most challenging aspects of building more human brands. On a recent episode titled The Many Benefits of Inclusive Marketing with Sonia Thompson, Chris chats with Sonia about what you can start doing right now to help customers feel more seen, valued, and understood when engaging with your brand.
You will also learn why inclusive marketing matters, how it's shaping customer-led growth, and what it looks like when it's actually done right. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to the show. So the next obvious question probably for everybody listening is, how do you handle positive feedback? How do you handle negative feedback? We'll save positive feedback for the end because we want to end on a high note. But let's say you've got some team members who really aren't doing super well. You know, they're distracted or maybe they've already checked out. How do you handle negative feedback? I'd love to hear from both of you. Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, well, as someone who doesn't love giving negative feedback, this is a fun one for me.
Yeah.
I think something I've learned is, I think as cheesy as it sounds, clear is kind.
Yeah.
And if you don't give someone the feedback that they probably need, it's actually unkind because it's holding them back. And so I think most of people who work here or just work anywhere, like they want to grow, they want to develop, they want to become bigger and better things than what they are today. And I think if you see something in someone that maybe they could improve or they're not doing well, by not telling them that, you're keeping them back from who they want to become. And so I think when you keep that in mind, it helps take you out of the situation and you can kind of more so think, I'm giving this feedback to help somebody else, not to, you know, make me feel uncomfortable or feel awkward about it. And so I think just having that in mind makes it a little bit easier. But I think too, I always try to I try to sandwich things. So I always give good feedback and something positive and affirming before I deliver maybe a harder piece of feedback, and then follow that up with another, you know, affirming piece of feedback. Because I think if the last thing someone hears from you is something really negative, that's going to stick. But if they're also hearing two things are doing great or two things you see in them that's, you know, opportunities or potential they could tap into, I think they leave feeling more motivated and inspired rather than torn down.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Tyler, how do you...
It's not my favorite thing in the world either, so what a pair we are. But yeah, I think going into a performance review where I know some critical feedback or some feedback that would be viewed as negative needs to be given, maybe it is. Even, you know, the headspace for me in that is thinking, hey, this mission that we're trying to, usually, almost always, something that an employee is doing that's, you know, negatively affecting us that they need to hear some feedback on, it's slowing down the mission. It's actually hurting what we're trying to accomplish as a business. And we believe we've got, you know, frameworks and tools that can make a difference in the lives of thousands of coaches and marketers and business owners. So, you know, even for that, and for this person, like Emily said, this is somebody we want to continue to develop and to be the best professional they can be with us. So whatever it is, this is likely hurting and holding back both of those things we're trying to advance, the mission of the company and this person's development and continuing to have a really important role in what they're doing here. So that helps me be clear and very straightforward with that. And to say it, to even bring it back, hey, I actually think this is getting in the way of you performing on these priorities that we've talked about here, which we know is hurting the overall mission of the business that we're trying to accomplish. So tying it back to those is usually going to be the way I'm doing that when I'm given that negative and critical feedback. And I mean, I know, Don, you said we'd get to the positive side. And I like what you said, Emily. I think we're always going to be a company that bends towards affirmation and the positive and shouting each other out. But I do always, pretty much for every performance review, I do end it with a challenge, more or less, for lack of a better word, because I'm a big fan, you know, obviously I work here, big fan of StoryBrand. And just this whole idea of transformation, it's kind of, you know, central to what we do and what we talk about, you know, businesses can do and anybody can do with the StoryBrand framework and the formula that we take people through. So even for me, thinking about, you know, whether it's Emily or Bobby, whoever it is on our team that's being reviewed, I love that I get to work closely enough with them to where I can just see it, you know, at least in my own view, who I think they can become and who they're becoming. And just to say, hey, over the next 90 days, in addition to these priorities that we've set for you, really focus right here. Because I think if you could get stronger in this area or continue to develop your skill set in this spot, there's just no end to what you could do. I get really excited about that. You know, I want to challenge you here, because if you can keep transforming in this way and continue to grow this way as a professional, you are becoming more valuable, not just to us, but like you said, Don, on the open market. It just, we're big in the business of developing people. And that to me always works into that feedback portion of the performance review. If any negative feedback is needed, you know, never making it personal, just tying it back to, hey, I think this is getting in your way and in the way of the business.
Yeah, you know, business is hard because it often hides. But if you look at the analogy of a sports team, a football team or basketball team, a softball team, whatever, and you have one person who is really messing up, everybody on the team cares about that a great deal because it's going to cost them the victory. The whole team loses. It's in business, we don't think of it that way, but I guarantee you that's exactly what's happening, right? I mean, we're not going to hit those goals. We're not going to be as reputable of a company. Our customer service abilities are going to go down. Team morale is going to go down. Revenue is going to go down. Bonuses are going down, even though 90% of the team is doing really great work. Because 10% of people, if you're a team, you're a unit, you're one. And parts of that machine just are breaking down. So you have to address those things, not just for that person, but for everybody else on your team. Otherwise, you'll lose people. Because if I'm on a team and I'm here to do exceptional work and develop myself, and they're not interested in telling this person that they've got to correct this, I'm on the wrong team, right? I'm here to win a Super Bowl. So, it's not that intense, but that's basically what you're saying. It's like, no, we have to address these things. All right, let's end with the positive note. I mean, what are some fun ways that you guys, let's be honest, praise is about 10% as loud as criticism. But talk to me about some fun ways to help people internalize something that's hard for them to internalize. There's an inner demon in all of us fighting praise.
Yeah.
And how have you guys gotten around that?
One thing that we do, this is yearly, and it's one of my favorite things, is every year we have a Christmas party, end of the year. So in addition to, we love to shout each other out every week, and Emily and I are big fans of positive affirmation and speed checks and end of year reviews. So one just, I think, special thing that we do that's just kind of known in the company is our end of year. It's basically kind of our MVP Employee of the Year award, but it's called the Mashed Potato Award. There was a story and story brand lore when the company was very, very small. And I think it was Kyle Reed, who now leads up our design and development team, and the COO at the time, Tim Schurer, said, Kyle, we'd be screwed without you. We couldn't do this. Here's a bowl of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, just grab the next thing, whatever was next to him, because we didn't have a trophy at the time.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, that trophy looks like a bowl of mashed potatoes.
Yes, we have actually made a trophy. It looks like a bowl of mashed potatoes. So all year, anytime someone does something above and beyond in the company, or just, has a killer week, or does great with some promotion, in Slack, there'll be all these potato emojis.
That's
or
right.
Just, new people are always very confused.
Lobbying for the end of the year
just
vote.
Just lobbying. So it's a thing all year, but one thing I do love about our end of year party, and we everybody on the team gets a plus one, so there's usually spouses and friends and family, and just the importance of in that moment at the end of the year to reveal that's been voted on by the team, but to say, hey, our mashed potato award winner is, this year it was James on our team, and just that moment always, just to be able to celebrate somebody on our team in front of the entire team, as voted on by the team, in front of spouses and friends and family, is always just incredibly powerful. And again, it's fun that it just permeates the entire year, everybody's thinking about that all year. And Don, I think you were the one that first pointed this out, as we've had, over the 6 or 7 years, 6 or 7 people win that award. I think just about everybody is still here.
Everybody who's won that award, nobody's ever left.
And I have to shout out, there are two winners of that award that are sitting right across from me, right, right here. By the way, I was the recipient of it in 2020.
Let me finish. Yeah. But just even that, in terms of, tying it back to something like retention, it's just, to be actually really, celebrated in that way, to say, we could not.
And I don't think they're doing it because, their self-esteem got raised. I think they're doing it because they realize that, I'm these people need me.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be somewhere where they're needed. Just an easy, easy low hanging fruit thing to do. You could even do one award quarterly, you just do, hey, our employee of the quarter is, and this is why, and just finding ways to publicly honor people is a fantastic thing to do. And plus, just taking care of folks. So hopefully Bobby, you think we answered Sarah's question in a roundabout way?
I think we answered it directly and also gave her additional options, not just around the quarterly review and the, part of those weekly check-ins, like the one-on-one, the personal priority speed checks, but also I think we gave her and all our listeners out there some really great tips and strategies.
Yeah. We end every episode with a plan of action. That is something from the episode that can help you grow your business. I think there's a lot of things that I want to talk about. One is the management and productivity made simple is the 5-meeting system that we've installed, and we've now taught tens of thousands of companies how to install it. You can find a description of that. The cheapest way to get it is my book, How to Grow Your Small Business. It's laid out there. There are actually template worksheets that you fill out before those meetings. They are in the book for free, or however much the book costs. There's also flight plan and flight school. Flight plan, those template meetings are inside of something that we call Small Business Flight Plan. Just go to businessmadesimple.com/flight. businessmadesimple.com/flight. The tools that you need, we've got a download for you there that's going to help you install those five meetings. I will say that the plan of action, after all that stuff, after you get the book and understand all that stuff, there is enormous benefit for working toward, I don't think you can ever actually accomplish this, but working toward turning your team into a family. Just keep heading in that direction. What do we need to be more family-like? What do we need to do to be more family-like? People will fight for their family. And what you will find as the owner is that you are much more energized about your business because you simply love the people that you work with. That's my plan of action. Figure out how to be more family-like in your business, and I think you're going to do okay. Sarah, we are rooting for you going into spring and summer, rooting for everybody listening. It's usually a time where people kind of sit down, but cast that vision, meet with everybody, make sure the priorities are established. Move toward being more like a family. You'll do great during spring and summer, and you'll just go rip-roaring into fall. All right. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Business Made Simple podcast, where we are absolutely obsessed with helping you grow your business. Tyler, Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks, Don.
See you guys again next week.